Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. As always, I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got a wonderful, wonderful show in store for you with an excellent guest. I'm really excited about having her on the show. But first, of course, we have my blog post from a couple of years ago. Again, I'm just going through these in order. So, no, this isn't cherry-picked. This isn't pre-planned. It just happens to be what comes next. And I think it's a pretty good one for today and what we're going to be talking about. And today's blog post is entitled, "Our Spiritual Practice is Meant to Improve This World, Not Escape It." Many spiritual seekers look to elevate their abilities, to touch spirit on a higher level, and open themselves up to a greater awareness. Yet there is a danger in doing this too quickly. When we strive to be in communion with spirit too quickly, it can lead to undesirable consequences. Monks who meditate for decades may only achieve moderate levels of this kind of spiritual development. They practice and practice every day to center themselves and discipline themselves in preparation. For to truly hold these higher energies, it takes a lot more than just to be open to them. It takes being centered and grounded enough through the years of practice to keep them from lifting us up too far. When we attain a high level of connection and immersion in spirit, we can lose our ability to function in our day-to-day life. We can become so ungrounded that we can no longer take care of ourselves or our family, which can lead to many unpleasant side effects. Rushing into the world of spiritual phenomenon can be a tricky path for those who are not trained well or ready for the resulting expansion. It might seem counterintuitive to go slow. After all, don't we want to go as high as we can, as fast as we can? The challenge is that going too fast with this kind of endeavor can truly destabilize us. It can overwhelm our nervous system as well as our psyche. And to those around us, we may seem as if we have had a psychic split, for we are actually looking at the whole situation as if in a mirror. The purpose of spiritual evolution is not to ascend and leave this world behind. It is to descend these high energies and bring them into this world to improve it. By doing so, we actually raise all those around us, and the entire world ascends with us. There is such a misconception going around in many spiritual communities and practices that we are to escape this world by going into the world of spirit. When we turn that concept around and make our purpose to bring that spiritual energy into this world, we have a completely different experience and approach. We are no longer looking to escape this world, but to improve it. Life is not about rising up our energy so much that we cannot function. It is about functioning so well that we can bring these energies into our day-to-day life. The world is not something to escape. It is something to cherish and love with all our heart. To bring our true spiritual nature to serve this world is the ultimate spiritual practice. How much better off would this world be if we all adopted this perspective? It might not be the way you were taught, yet it makes so much more sense, and it creates a more grounded approach to all of our spiritual practices. Are you using your spiritual practice to escape this world or to improve it? So I wrote this blog post a couple of years ago for a couple of reasons. And I think initially it was my wife, who was a therapist, had a client who had experienced a Kundalini awakening and was having a very difficult time just functioning in the world from this deep spiritual experience. And they were very ungrounded. They had a lot of challenges in relationships and holding down a job and just, you know, being able to support themselves and everything else. And it sort of brought up this whole idea because, you know, many years ago, when I was studying with different spiritual teachers, and one in particular who was all about spiritual ascension. And I just remember he was like, you know, I'm just looking to like, pshoom, like get out of this world, not come back again, not reincarnate. I want to, you know, go back and you know, re-merge back into source consciousness. And there's kind of this spiritual judgmentalness around the physical world and physical life, that this is something bad in some way, like the physicality of life is what causes all our suffering. And what I've come to know for myself, and again, this is all my own personal perspective and opinion, and maybe this doesn't resonate for you, but for me, there's so much beauty in this world. There's so many possibilities. There's so much to see and do and connect with different people. It just, to me, feels like this world has so many possibilities that I've come to realize that, no, it's not about escaping this world. It's about bringing more of ourselves into life so that we can show up in a way that we bring heaven on earth, that we make other people's lives better, we make our own life better, that we live in a way that serves ourselves and serves everyone. To me, that just feels much more true in my heart, that we're not here to escape this world. Even though, of course, there are times when things can be overwhelming, when it can feel like, you know, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, that, you know, things aren't going the way we in our human conscious mind think they should go. And yeah, it can be challenging and it can be tough. But I don't know. It just feels to me like we're here for a reason. And that reason is not to get away from this world. The former owner of this radio station became a Theravadan Buddhist monk and dedicated the rest of his life to meditating in the forest and really focusing on his spiritual practice. And I'm sure he'll get tremendous benefit from that. And he does come out of the forest and he does interact with people at certain times. But to me, in this world, it just feels to me like we need more people who can develop the spiritual practice and have that internal world of a monk, but be living in the cities, be living in society, be living where we're connecting and interacting with other human beings, that is where our real purpose lies. And so I just really, you know, this blog post poured out of me because I just really felt the need to give a different perspective to offer to people who, have a spiritual path, who have a spiritual heart, and that they want to, connect more with those energies, those high frequency energies that go beyond our rational understanding. I get it. I love it too. That's why my logo back here is an homage to Doctor Strange, because he's the one superhero who was a magician. But maybe if we stopped trying to escape this world and started to see this world as a gift, and see what can we do to truly contribute to the world to make it better, and see the beauty that exists all around us, maybe then we wouldn't feel the need to escape. Maybe then we could just appreciate and have gratitude for all that life brings us. And in the end, isn't that a real spiritual practice? Learning to be grateful for all of it, the wanted, the unwanted, the desired, the undesired experiences of life. What would life be like if we could have the internal space to hold all of that with a sense of gratitude? So that's my blog post. It's entitled, "Our Spiritual Practice is Meant to Improve This World, Not Escape It." And of course, you can always find my blog at talkradio.nyc/blog, or on my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com. And so now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show speaker, best-selling author, and business and executive coach, Jane Warrilow. Jane is the founder of Sacred Changemakers, a podcast and community that brings together people who want to reimagine business and make a bigger impact. She plays at the intersection between soul, business, and technology. Jane is one of the world's most exclusive business coaches, and her clients are by invitation and referral only. She has worked with CEOs and senior executive teams from around the world, and despite working with millionaires and celebrities, her true passion is inspiring coaches, consultants, and changemakers to become and do the extraordinary in life and business. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Jane.
Oh, Sam, thank you so much for having me. That blog post was so in alignment with my work. I can't wait for our conversation.
Me too. Me too. It's so funny because I really don't cherry pick these blog posts, yet they always seem to be so apropos for the guests that I have on. So we just have a couple of minutes before we go to our first break. But Jane, I would love to know, what sort of brought you to this world of working with sacred change makers? Have you always had a very spiritual side to yourself? Have you always been good at having a foot in both the business world and the spiritual world? Or is this, or did something happen later on in life that kind of caused an awakening and you were like, okay, I got to change the way I'm living?
Yes. So it's a yes and a yes to what you just said. I think my life has been a series of awakenings. But yes, I've always been on a spiritual path, but that was my personal life. My business life, my strategy, my MBA, all of those things were very separate until really I had an illness following the birth of my son Jacob and a terminal diagnosis, which put me in a place where I literally had to heal myself and put together a fringe medicine team to help me heal. This was back in the early 2000s. And when I came back to business and leadership work after healing myself, and I hadn't realized I'd been on a very spiritual journey. I was bedridden for 4 years, numerous surgeries, nothing worked. And so that was my first big awakening that integrated consciousness and spirituality in a sacred approach, if you like, to my business and leadership coaching practice. And then another incident, another awakening in 2019 when I my daughter gave birth to my first granddaughter. I was there at the birth. And during that birth, yes, I had grandma tears. She was my first granddaughter. I was holding this little soul. And she's also Hispanic and female. And it plunged me into a little bit of a dark night of the soul, reflecting back on what is now 30 years as a business and executive coach working globally. And to look at, what kind of world am I bringing this granddaughter into? This is not the world I want her to be in. I look back on my career. Yes, I've been incredibly successful. I've exited a number of consultancies. I've done really well financially. But is that enough for me? I've changed a lot of lives, but I've also made a lot of people a lot of money. And I realized I needed to go beyond profit. And that was the origin and the beginning of Sacred Changemakers.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So beautiful, so beautiful and succinct. Thank you so much. She's a real professional. You know, this is my kind of guest. All right, so we're going to take our first break. When we come back, so let's talk about that transition and that change and what was that like for you and the challenges around that and the surprises around that and what had a shift and change within you to really bring that into
Oh,
being.
yeah.
Okay. So
Yes.
everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Twitch. And we'll be right back with our guest, Jane Warrilow, in just a moment. Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Jane Warrilow. Am I pronouncing that right? I'm probably not pronouncing that right.
In the English, it would be Warrilow, but it's fine.
And where are you from initially? I can tell you have a bit of an
yes,
accent.
I'm originally from England, from the Northwest, a little town called Blackpool that Americans don't understand, but it's probably the wrong side of the tracks.
I think I think that's a phrase Americans do know.
That's right.
So Jane, you had this epiphany when you were holding your granddaughter. What kind of world are you bringing her into? Are we going to leave her, you know, when older? And I unfortunately do not have children, but I have nieces and nephews, and I do think about this. And I'm just curious if you have a perspective around why so much in business is so short-sighted. Like I kind of see like so much in business seems so extractive and so unsustainable and so short-sighted. And I'm curious, like, what is it that has gotten so many of these people? Because it's not just one individual at the top of a giant corporation. It takes many layers of people to all buy into that system. Why is the system in business so not conscious, I guess is the way to put it.
Well, I think over the years, the way that we talk about and the way that we think about capitalism and consumerism has kind of grown in a way that it's almost like the pendulum has swung too far. I mean, if we go back to the 1950s, before we started to look at things like efficiency in business, before we really started to, before manufacturing started to break down into component parts and start to treat humans like machines, I think that, there was a lot more of value-driven business as I would see it. But I think also it's got something to do with the pursuit of power, right? Which I think is kind of endemic for most of us as humans, is we look to kind of ascend to gain more power, more control over our lives. And I think that spilled over into consumerism and the economy. And of course, power is where the money is in the consumerist society. And, when you start to look at how do you make an organization or a business more efficient, it's a different question to how do you optimize or make it more even more effective, right? And so efficiency is where it all began. I think looking to really lower costs and higher profits. And then as we started to realize we have stakeholders in organizational life, then it's almost like when I say the pendulum swung too far, it's almost like everything is about profit in organizational life. So at the end of the day, if something isn't going to make profit, it's not going to get done. If something's going to lower profit, it's seen as a cost center. So again, it's not an attractive thing. But if somebody can come up with a way to actually squeeze the cost to the lowest point and really get more and more people into the organization or the business selling more products or services, then we have more profit at the end of the day. We also have more power over our industry. We can start to lead in a way. Now, what that's done is it's meant that profit has almost become the god of industry. We've put it on a pedestal to the extent that we've almost, and I'll say almost, we've almost forgotten everything else that matters in business. We can have forgotten our origin story, our passion, why we created the organization in the first place. And change, as we know, and technology, as we know, is helping that efficiency model, which means that I believe that we've kind of moved into this space somewhat unwittingly. Or I hope that's what we've done. And now it's almost like we didn't realize the extent of what we were creating and how we were extracting from the planet, how we were using. I mean, just the title human resources says an awful lot about how much humanity there is in organizational life, to the extent that I would say today, we've lost our soul. We've just forgotten. It's not that it's wrong. Please let me be clear about that. It's not wrong. Money makes the world go round. It's still important. And I think it will be while consumerism still reigns in the way it does. So I'm not negating profit. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's a very limited view of the value that business can bring to society.
So you with Sacred Changemakers, you're about sort of bringing the sacred back into business. I imagine there must be some resistance initially. Like when you first had this idea and you first kind of changed your brand and your identity around this, did you hit a lot of resistance or just a little bit of resistance? Like what was that transition process like?
You know, it's really interesting. I've resisted this for an awfully long time. So let me be really honest with this. I thought if I started talking about spirituality and the sacred, particularly upfront before people really knew me very well, then, you know, I couldn't talk about that in my marketing because it would undervalue my authority, right? Because it's almost like in organizational life and in leadership, we have the polarities, like you're either a for-profit organization or you're a not-for-profit. You're either spiritual or you're strategic and tactical. Like, it's like never the twain shall meet. So yes, you're right. I had a lot of resistance. And when I first had this idea for Sacred Changemakers, I remember going to a mastermind group that I was in with really top thought leaders. And without fail, everybody said, we love the word changemakers, but there's no way you can use the word sacred in it, right? It's going to turn everybody off. Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting thing, Sam, because that kind of reinforced my view. And every time I was on my computer and I was typing sacred changemakers, and this is no word of a lie, the spell check would change it to scared changemakers. And I was like, okay, this is where my fear is. And therefore, this is where I need to go, because this is not just what I want. This is what's necessary today. And that's the shift, I think, that Sacred Changemakers brings. So to embody that myself, I needed to lead. And I'm very passionate about this integration. And so I was like, okay, so Sacred Changemakers. I started talking to a few clients. Now, my clients work in iconic organizations globally. And I remember talking to a senior executive. I'm not going to say the organization it was from, but everybody knows the name. And what's interesting is when I open the conversation with senior execs, what happens is they just go, this is exactly what we need. You're right. We've lost our soul and we don't want to forget profit, but we do want to expand into, you know, the expansive nature of what you're discussing here at Sacred Changemakers, which is kind of three major themes. It's inspiring change, but not just change, regenerative change. It's becoming resonant as a leader. So when you were talking about your blog post today, we talk about the full spectrum of vibration from the highest frequencies down to the lowest, because you need to know them all. They're all very important in the modern world. And then designing business as a force for good. So becoming more conscious in the way that you approach business. And I've been really shocked that kind of under the radar, this is like a hidden impulse for many senior executives, and particularly for coaches and consultants and trainers and facilitators. This is the work we want to be doing. Why? Well, because this matters. This is legacy work. It's full of meaning, and it enables every individual that touches an organization, whether an employee, a customer, or a client, to actually feel a different presence that comes from the internal culture, but also from the products and the offers and the services within the marketplace.
Right, right. Because it affects, you know, not just how you show up in the office or in the workplace, it affects what kinds of markets, what kinds of products you create, how you create them, where you create them, all of that stuff.
Exactly.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, we need to take our next break. When we come back, I would like to just talk about, okay, so you found that there was some buy-in here. Where did it go from there? And sort of what you kind of see the trajectory going, because I was actually kind of surprised to hear you say that so many senior executives are actually open to the idea. So that gives me some hope. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we will be right back with our guest, Jane Warlow, in just a moment.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So Jane, when you started to work with these senior executives in a different way and sort of approaching it from more the sense of the sacred, they were actually open to it. It sounds like you were kind of surprised about that.
Yeah, I really was. I really was. Because if you think about the veneer of business, this is not the language that we use. And if you think about the word sacred in itself, that's kind of confined to organized religion in a way. So one of the things I knew that I needed to do was kind of reclaim that word back into just kind of modern life and detach it from organized religion. Because when I ask leaders a question, which is just very simply this, you know, if you were to consider your life or your leadership as sacred, what would be different? The most incredible responses come out from people. And to be quite frank, that's where it started, because I was just kind of dipping my toe in the water to see how people would do. And this has been my work, not just since I started Sacred Changemakers. For my clients, they've known about my spiritual path because my body of work of resonance started in 2004 when I was talking about energetic frequencies. I was mapping consciousness against leadership and business. I just wasn't marketing it. Right? You see? So I was attracting the clients with their issues. And then we would go in, I would go in, me and my teams, and we would do what it felt like the real work of human change. Because people forget that organizations are relational. We're made up of a number of human people. And yes, we've got growing technology coming in as well, but the technology doesn't work without the humans either. Right. And so it's this human aspect of business and organizational life that I've been doing through a resonance lens. And then I brought in the sacred lens, really around 2014, 15. So I'd been playing in this sandbox. I just hadn't gone all out and got onto my soapbox, if you like.
And so since you've kind of came out of the closet, so to speak, yeah. Have you found much more acceptance? Have you found any resistance in general?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. I live in the Midwest, right? Yeah. And so I launched this when I was in California. So that'll tell you something. And yes, there's a whole swathe of people who have no awareness really of this at all. I mean, But if you look at, if you're a leader and you're reading things like Harvard Business Review and things like that, you're starting to see things like spiritual intelligence coming through. So we're starting to have the conversations, but yes, we're pushing the membrane of what's possible for leaders and business right now. But also we're doing it because I think when I look out into the world today and I see the multitude of challenges that we're facing, and I look at how have we got to where we are today, it's a little bit like the first question you asked me. I think we've got here in a way that we weren't fully aware of the impact our business practices were having, say, on the climate, on biodiversity, on the planet, on the humans that are working within it. But now you look out, we've got the highest rates of suicide. We've got the quiet resignation where everybody's just going to work to get their paycheck because they just can't stand where they work. We've got people leaving jobs at a higher rate because they don't like the leaders that are above them. So you start to look at all these challenges, and that doesn't even go into the way we're extracting from the planet and killing species all in the name of profit. Right. So you start to look at all these things, and it all comes back to me to this idea that, and the rise of AI also plays into this, which is now we've got AI that can do, is beginning to do, these large language models are beginning to do some of the transactional things that humans do. All right. And I'm not going to go into where's it going, but what it's meant for me and for my community, and this is a conversation that's very alive, is instead of worrying about the AI, we're thinking, yeah, but what does it mean to be human?
Yeah.
What's different about humans to the machines? And that then starts to bring in a whole deeper conversation about, you know, we start to look at physicality, emotions, intellect, you know, intelligences. You know, you can look at how a gardener's multiple intelligences, from spiritual to emotional to social, all of those things that we've known for years in leadership development, but we have no shared definition of what it means to be human. And yet here we are, supposedly the most intelligent species on the planet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I started to think about, well, if we don't know what it means to be human, then actually, what does it mean to be human in business? What does it mean to lead? Again, we've got a variety of definitions of what it means to lead. But again, it's kind of intentionally relational. So if you're not a good human, how can you be a good leader?
Right.
So that's where, my book Beyond Profit came out just about 10 days ago, and I'm already getting so much feedback and responses from the market where people are amazed. So to answer your question, I had somebody from the US Treasury in the DC who runs a team and has read my book, loves it, and says, can't wait to start to implement some of these practices with my team, because he said, I had no idea that this was possible in leadership, which brings me to really the expansive nature of the work, which is really around the eight dimensions of change, not just like a one-dimensional change. Right. So
I'm wondering if you can maybe give us a quick example of like a leader you worked with, and after they sort of shifted their consciousness or shifted their perspective, maybe what were some of the little things that that they changed that made it more in alignment with a more sacred way of viewing business?
I think they'd always cared, right? So let me say that. But they didn't think that that was allowed in that organization. So there's one leader that I worked with in a... They were the head of EMEA for a large mobile phone company in Europe. And I'll tell you now that the change that we did, I worked with them for 3 years. We did a full-scale culture change through the organization. And the impact of that was an increase of 448 million. Right. Wow. So there was a lot of people involved. Now, what did we do? We did a blend of coaching and training and culture change, but we also did systemic change. Mm-hmm. But here's where it all started. I was coaching this leader one-on-one right at the very beginning. And it was a woman, but it was a woman acting like a man, because that's what's needed when you're a senior executive in an organization. And she said, I really care about my team. But then when we talked to the team didn't know that she didn't think she cared at all. So then it was, well, what are we going to allow? What's the culture? What's the behaviors? What's the beliefs we're holding that are making you behave in this way? And she started to say, well, I don't think that's allowed. I have to leave my emotions on the door when I walk in. That's what the CEO says. There's no space here for emotion. And I was thinking, well, how do you run an organization when there's no space for emotion? Emotion's what derails most leaders. So it's like making space and then becoming intentional about those changes. So it started with her and her inner sense of reconnecting to what really mattered most to her. And what mattered most was people. But then showing that through her leadership, showing she cared, putting things in place where she was actually communicating that, and then allowing the team to, I mean, it's silly little things, allowing the team to make mistakes. So many environments, they don't allow teams to make mistakes. And then what happens is people get more contented at work. They find more meaning. We shifted some people out of roles that they weren't well fitted for. We put them in roles where they could really flourish. So you start to see the life energy in the team tick up. Then other departments started to say, what are you doing? Because that, like my team need this. And so it started to go out. And that's where we really did. It was a fantastic organization in that they were really open to the changes. But these were very human, soft skill changes that we did. And when you integrate that into the masculinity that's alive in many, many organizations, and you start to bring in some feminine energy and integrate it and start to show that you care for you, then the people inside the organization care for the clients more. The marketing department start to put out a different, slightly nuanced messaging. It attracts more people. There's more meaning in the organization. And today, clients and customers are looking for more meaning. We've moved the marketplace beyond the transactions. So we started to see how this was impacting the bottom line, and it where it just really started to grow. And before we knew it, they were the leading company in in Europe.
And so what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it's almost more sort of the subtlety of showing up differently in the office, allowing people to just be human and not expecting people to be robots, and just creating an environment in a space where people can feel more alive and more engaged. And then the all the little details kind of worked out for themselves in a way.
Well, it is. And there's one other thing that I haven't mentioned, which is purpose. Is understanding that the organization has its goals and its strategies and, you know, but does it have its purpose? Why are people going to work? Why would people buy what you have? Right? These questions were deeper, and we worked a lot on purpose, because purpose is not just a marketing message, you know, so that you can greenwash out in the marketplace. It's literally something that needs to be embodied through the organization, and every individual needs to find a way to integrate their personal purpose into the organizational purpose. And so once you get that level of alignment, everybody knows that they matter, that the work they do matters, that the purchase they make matters beyond the transaction. That's what really makes a difference.
And also what I'm hearing you say is it actually makes the organization a more effective organization than one that is unconscious, that doesn't have purpose, and that ends up leading to a more profitable business, which is ultimately what the business is about to begin with anyway. But it's finding that path through a different route.
Yes. And we're now seeing the data. We've had so many years of this now. And, you know, it's not just me doing this work. There's a lot of people. And the research shows that purpose-driven organizations outperform just normal organizations 12 to 1.
12 to 1?
Not 2 to 1. 12 to 1.
12 to 1. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. It's a good point for us to take our last break of the show. I could talk to you for hours and hours. When we come back, can we prognosticate a little bit?
We can. I'd love to share the eight dimensions of change as well with you, because that will give people a really good access point.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit more about your book, Beyond Profit.
Yeah. Like,
what's the heart of it? What's the intention behind it? And what do you hope people get from it? Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour has been Jane Werelow. And we'll be right back to wrap it all up in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Jane, as you mentioned, your book, Beyond Profit, just recently came out. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy I can hold up. But can you just tell us, like, what is the purpose behind the book? What do you hope people get out of the book? And what, as you said, the eight essentials that we can get? We don't have a lot of time, so we need to keep things tight.
Yeah, so it really is about, it's an invitation, I think, to reimagine business and also to reimagine the way that we approach change, because change is a constant in all of our lives. And one of the things I noticed was that when I look back on my career, I noticed that most of my kind of change initiatives had been in the I, me, mine conversations, right? In individual change. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't just mean working with individuals. I mean my leadership, my career, my team, my department, my organization. It's still me, mine, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized that in a way, one of the first things I ask people as a coach when I'm working with a CEO or a senior exec is, you know, what do you want from this coaching? And I've realized that's a very limited question, because in today's world, I think we also need to be asking, what's necessary? What does the world need from you and your leadership right now? And that's a very big question. And this is where, and I'll run through them very quickly because I won't give a lot of time, but people get what they are. The eight dimensions of change, which I talk about a lot in this book, is this idea of how can we expand change to really think about it in a multiple perspective kind of way. Right. So we're not just walking through a narrow door of change. We're actually opening up a lot more possibility and potential. And what that is it's inner change to outer change, right? So I need to do my own work within so that I can show up in a certain way, like we've already talked about. And then, so the being and the doing is very important on an individual level, but it's true at an organizational level too. Like the culture inside the organization can then serve their customers better. So inner to outer. Then we have upward change and downward change. This is about the levels of resonance or consciousness, right? We need to be able to go to the higher frequencies. We need to be able to go to the lower frequencies to actually create in physical reality. And through doing that, what we're really doing is what I call full spectrum resonance. But there's 9 levels. And here's the thing. Conflict arises when we don't realize that everybody lives in a very different world. Right? 9 different worlds that we all live in. So we have to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Individual to collective change. I've already spoken about that. Like, what do I want? And what does the world need from me? It's a bigger perspective to start to think about that. And then short-term change, because that's necessary in business. There are times when you've got to be really like, okay, we need to do this and we need to do this now. And then there's long-term change, which we've often thought about, and we do learn this at coach training school, you know, what kind of am I going to be doing over a much longer time? So I might have a 5-year or a 10-year plan. And now I would suggest we need a legacy plan. We need to plant seeds that we will never see flourish in our lifetime. That is our legacy work that will continue long after we've gone. And the question I ask in the book is, what kind of an ancestor will you be? Literally. Because that's where Phoebe, my granddaughter, took me, is to this space of what kind of world am I leaving behind for her? And it took me beyond my lifetime to really think about what will they say in the future about our time in history, that we just killed everything, that we decimated the forest, that we had no humanity in organizational life, that we were just for profit? Or are we going to, now we know, what will we do? And that, I think, is a really important question.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So given your experience over the last few years, are you more hopeful than you were in the past? Or are you still very concerned? Where do you kind of see the impact of what you're doing? Where do you see it leading?
Yeah, I'm incredibly hopeful. I have an unwavering kind of trust and faith in the potential of humans. I mean, look what we've created in the world. I lived last October with the indigenous, 3 different indigenous nations in the Amazon rainforest, and I saw how far we've come. It's incredible what we've created, what capitalism has kind of created in the modern world, the lives that we're born into here. And I am, you know, I know I stand on the shoulders of giants and everybody that came before. But here's something to really think about, which is if I look around me now, just the fact that you and I are talking over technology at a great distance, Sam, how many people have been involved in just allowing this conversation to take place? I mean, I've got my Mac computer in front of me. A number of people built that, you know, they innovated it. There's all these things around me that have all been built and created by humans. We're amazing. We can create this and we can create something differently too. We just need a different intention. We need to learn how to integrate in the web of life and not try and dominate it and stand apart from it. And that, to me, is essentially human. Knowing where we are, knowing the part we can play, the value we can bring to life itself, not just society, but the whole world. We are incredible. So yes, I have an incredible amount of hope. And the thing is, there is an awful lot of incredibly good things happening in the world today and for the past decade, but media don't pick them up because what sells more? Negative news. But if you look, you can see the innovations. We're rising more people out of poverty than we ever have before, right? So we're starting to really see that there is a sea change. We just don't know it yet. And there's a really, really great quote, and I wish I could remember who said it. I need to go and look it up. And it says, the future is already here. It's just not widely distributed yet. Right? So yeah. We've already got some incredible signs that this is the way we're moving. So much so that I will say this for your listeners to hear. This is the future of business. There will be winners. There will be losers. Some people are still fighting for the old ways. And that's what we do. Other people are not. They're innovating for the new. So you've got to decide where you want to be, which side of history you want to be on, and what kind of a future you want to live within, because that's really the question that I'm bringing to the table.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So we just got a couple of minutes left. If there was, for our listeners, like if there's a listener and maybe they're struggling with their business or they're having a hard time in their workplace, what would be the one piece of advice you would give them to help them to move the needle in the direction we're talking about this hour?
Yeah. And it's very simple, because I talk about big things. I talk about global change. I talk about changing the world, all those things. But what you have to realize is that change happens on multidimensional levels, and it doesn't have to be big. Every single person that's alive today matters. And so the change starts within. Just a 1% shift every day accumulates to massive change over time. And that could just be a simple act of kindness. It could be smiling, just like my client that did so well. Show people you care. Really, you know, take care of the relationships in your life and think about what it means for you. What does success mean for you? Not what the culture defines it to be or your leader or manager tells you it is. What is it for you? Because if you can live into what matters most to you, then we'll already be building a much better world and society. And it will kind of trip over into business. Not big changes, small changes are the things that matter most. And who you're being really defines what you do and don't do in this world. So think about that. Who are you being and who you're becoming?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking my language. Jane, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. I literally could talk to you for hours.
Thanks.
Hopefully one day we'll get an opportunity to do just that.
Yeah.
So thank you for taking the time to come on my show. I really appreciate it. I wish you more and more success in the world, because I just know the more success you have, the more of a greater impact you have, the more you'll move the needle in the proper direction, I'll say.
Thank you, Sam. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners who tune in every week and join the conversation. I so appreciate all of you. Without you, there is no show. And please don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc or on any of the podcasting platforms that you're already listening to, like Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can always find the Conscious Consultant Hour. So thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you all, and we will talk to you all next week. Take care.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.